Thank you for coming to this session that is sponsored by the Health Communication Working Group. We are a working group, which is a subset of the PHEHP section. The session that you're at this morning is Advancing Health Literacy Through the Lens of Health Communication Applications at the Local, State, and National Level. And we have some copies of the sessions, other sessions that the Health Communication Working Group is sponsoring. And we've also passed around some little scratch pads for you to take with you. And the link that is on there is a link that you can check out if you're interested in any more information about the Health Communication Working Group. So we are going to do this session this morning, but I'm just going to briefly introduce each member of the panel, and then we'll be going through each one of their presentations, and we're going to save questions until the end. So each presenter is going to talk about 12 minutes. We should have about 20 minutes for questions at the end. Our first speaker this morning is going to be Carolyn Brooks, who is in the Office of the Associate Director of Communications at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and she has been very instrumental in developing and implementing the National Action Plan for Health Literacy. Our second speaker is Dr. Elizabeth Wilson, who is on faculty at the Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine, where they are doing some really exciting things with health literacy. She is in place of Michael Wolf, who was not able to make it for family reasons. Our third speaker is John Stemmel, who is Associate Director of Health Communication Research Center at the University of Missouri School of Journalism. I am the fourth speaker, and I am an assistant professor in the Department of Communication at University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and I teach courses on social marketing and interpersonal health communication. Arthur Colbert is our last speaker. You know, am I saying that right? Is it Colbert? Colbert. Okay. I'm making you French this morning. He is president and CEO of Health Literacy Missouri, is on faculty, holds faculty appointments at St. Louis University School of Public Health, as well as the University of Missouri School of Health Professions. He also is very involved with the Roundtable on Health Literacy at the School of Medicine. So Carolyn Brooks is going to start us out this morning with our first presentation.
Good morning. Thank you all for getting up this early to come to the first session of the day. I'm going to talk to you briefly and give you an overview of the National Action Plan to Improve Health Literacy. It was released in May of 2010, and we've been doing a lot of presentations on it. Most of them have been an hour 15 minutes. One has been 20 minutes, so today you're going to get the 12-minute version. So if you have any questions afterwards, I'll be happy to answer those. First, can I just get a raise of hands if you've heard about the National Action Plan to Improve Health Literacy? Great. Great. All right. So this is a definition most of you are likely familiar with. Health literacy is the degree to which individuals have the capacity to obtain, process, and understand basic health information and services needed to make appropriate health decisions. And we often think about health literacy as individual capacity, but I think all of you in here know that we as public health professionals have a major role in how obtainable and how understandable that information is, and we need to take strategic actions to make sure our organizational practices and policies are doing that. And that's one of the reasons that we developed a National Action Plan. If I ask 10 of you here in the room, what are you doing to address health literacy, I'd likely hear 10 different things. And that's fine. Just like these puzzle pieces, we don't all have to be the same, but it is when we are working together in a coordinated manner that we can really work to address and change the landscape of health literacy. And so that's why we wanted to create this National Action Plan, to really define the key issues and provide a focal point for the field, prioritize key actions, and kind of set a blueprint for both local and regional efforts. And I won't go much into the development of the plan, but this is not a plan for government by government. But rather, while it was led by government staff, we engaged over 700 individuals from public and private organizations, including individuals from the insurance industry, education industry, social services, education, and many others, communication, media, to be involved in this plan because there are multiple layers and multiple individuals that are needed to really move the issue of health literacy forward. And to let you know that one morning we just didn't wake up and say, hey, let's develop a plan, this really has been the culmination of over a decade's worth of work from health literacy coming onto the national scale in 2000 when Healthy People 2010 included a national objective on health literacy, to the release of the NAHL data, the National Assessment of Adult Literacy, which was released in 2006 to really demonstrate that nearly 9 out of 10 English-speaking adults in the United States have limited health literacy, to the release of the plan in 2010. So the vision for the plan is quite simple. It really is a call for all sectors who are involved in health information and services to create a society that provides everyone with access to accurate and actionable health information. Create a society that delivers person-centered care, information, and services, and a society that promotes lifelong learning and skills that promote good health. And as a reflection of those vision, 7 major goals have been outlined. In the plan, these 7 goals are accompanied with several high-level strategies under each that are also split by different sectors. Because what an adult educator can do is different than what a pharmacist can do, which is different than what a government agency do, which is different than what a health professional can do. So we have a role for each of those sectors who are involved in creating information and products, whether it be medical devices or web content about nutrition. We have a role for all of those individuals in ensuring that those information, products, and services are made usable for people that need those information most. So I'm going to briefly talk about each of these goals, very briefly, give you a little taste of what they are, and then I really do recommend that you go to the plan and look through the plan and see what these goals are relevant to you and what strategies are under the stakeholders to which organizations that you belong. So the first goal is to develop and disseminate health and safety information that is accurate, actionable, and accessible. We have a responsibility as public health professionals to ensure that the information and products and services that we are putting out there are usable by the people who need them most. This includes involving the target audience in both the development and creation, as well as the implementation, dissemination, and evaluation of those products and services. This includes examining your organizational practices to figure out, do you have a process for developing health information? Do you have a process? We have a process for developing science. We have a process for paying our employees. But do we have a process for developing our health information and services? If we don't, we should get one. If we have one, we should ensure that health literacy principles are included in those plans. The second goal is to promote changes in the healthcare delivery system to improve information, communication, informed decision-making, and access to health services. If anyone has encountered the healthcare system lately, you may think it is inherently complex. This is from a lack of coordination among healthcare providers, confusing forms and instructions. We have a major shift in care to self-management, dealing with complex financing and coverage requirements. So the demands on a patient to be informed and proactive about their health is tremendous. And we have a role in being able to shift how we deliver that care. So this includes using evidence-based practices such as the teach-back method, including AHRQs, questions are the answers, in practice, ensuring that the medical staff are trained in health literacy and cultural competency. There are a variety of ways to establish minimum requirements for continuing education in those elements and other training facilities and opportunities for the staff. The third goal, and this is where many people say, oh, well, that's not us. We're public health. We don't deal with education. But there's tremendous opportunity here. We have an opportunity to incorporate accurate, standards-based, and developmentally appropriate health and science curricula in early childhood and education through the university level. We are teaching our children something. We have a tremendous opportunity to already incorporate our health literacy or health information into existing lesson plans so that they're not hearing the word diabetes for the first time when they're 36 and in the hospital, or that they're not learning about blood pressure when it's too high, but they've already thought about those numbers and they've dealt with some of those numeracy issues in their math courses and seen examples on that there. Another goal, and this is one I think that has tremendous potential that's been untapped, is to support and expand local efforts to provide adult education, English language instruction, and culturally and linguistically appropriate services in the community. Often community-based services are natural allies with us as public health professionals. They are concerned with the well-being of the citizens in their communities, and we have a tremendous overlap in what we can do with them. We often like to stay in our silos, whether you're a health department or a local hospital. We stay there, and this is what we provide, and this is all we provide. But if we learn what is out there in the community and what resources are available, we can tap into things that can help them access our services, and they also can help the communities use our services once they get the information from us. So understanding what is out there in your community, what partnerships and opportunities can you leverage so we all can be really working together in a coordinated way. The fifth goal is to build is right along lines with that one, is to build partnerships, change policies, and develop guidance. When we're providing funding opportunities, include health literacy in those funding announcements and those grant awards. As you're thinking about your strategic plans for your organization, is health literacy a piece of that? If we can change the practices and the policies in which our organizations operate and include health literacy in those, we can really go a long way. So it's not just one person who cares about it and they're that fighting champion. Maybe there's a few of you fighting champions in here. We appreciate you. But you can't do it alone, and you really need to work to create this movement and get these policies changed in your organizations. And that really can go a long way in sustaining the effort and hopefully bringing resources to help continue those efforts. The sixth goal is to increase research and the development, implementation, and evaluation of evidence-based health practices, health literacy practices, and interventions. We know a lot about the problem, and it's great to continue to do research on the documenting of the problem, but we know less about the solutions, and many of the studies that we do have on health literacy interventions are often singular in focus and have small sample sizes, and that's fine, but we really need to look at doing some comparative effectiveness research so we can know what are those things that we can use that are most effective and really can drive how we do things and use those as an evidence base and use that across various populations. And the final seventh goal, and some people are like, well, why didn't you put dissemination with research? Well, dissemination, we decided, was really a separate issue that often gets overlooked. At a minimum, maybe people publish their results and find it in academic journals. But hopefully I've conveyed to you that it's not just academics and it's not just those that are reading those academic journals that are involved in the transformative process that is needed to improve health literacy. Therefore, we need to figure out how we can create and engage new mechanisms and innovative ways to share our learnings, to share what we've been able to accomplish, our successes, as well as where things don't fall, that have not been successful. Because that way, another community who's interested in doing it can say, oh, well, it didn't work, and they've documented these reasons. Let me tweak those and see if this will help move us further along. And we really need to create more sharing. There's so many coalitions that are starting to develop across the country, all over the country. We really need to figure out a mechanism to share those opportunities, share those successes, share those findings, so that we really can move forward, ultimately, in advancing health literacy. So what can you do with this plan? Well, one, we kind of wish we took out the national in the plan because people think, oh, that's a federal plan, the National Action Plan for Health Literacy. But really, we're just asking you to think about your organizational practice. And we're thinking that every organization who is involved in health information and services needs a plan for addressing health literacy. And the National Action Plan can help serve as a framework for that. If you're not ready for that yet, then we ask you to review your organization's priorities. Look at the plan. Choose a few strategies that you think may go well with leadership where you can have some successes. Try them out, evaluate them, expand, and then maybe those successes will help you get the buy-in that you need to really move this forward in your organization. And then we always end with this question. Is your organization using its resources to help improve health literacy or to perpetuate and create health literacy barriers? And really, if you think hard about this, we believe if you're not being intentional about addressing health literacy, you're likely neglecting it or potentially even creating barriers to getting it done. Developing a plan is one way to really be intentional about how you address and incorporate health literacy into your organizational policies and practices. So we're not asking that everyone do everything in the plan, but rather that everyone do what they can do in their lane very well so that we have this coordinated piece. As Dr. Cornell West mentioned yesterday, at the end of we're in here and in this field for people. At the end of each product, service, and piece of information that we provide and we develop, there are people who are making life and major health decisions based on the information we provide to them. And that's a major responsibility, and I hope that you all take the charge. Thank you.